had to try to train some dogs before when they go to my house. And you know, when they come into my house, some of them learn really easy, and some seem like they're just unteachable. I mean, I have one little chihuahua sitting at my house today that there's a couple of things that dog does not want to learn. It has learned a lot, but my little chihuahua, there's a few things that it refuses to learn, and it seems like it's unteachable in some areas. You say, Pastor, you're saying we're like dogs. No, I'm saying that some of us are stubborn, some of us struggle with learning things, and some of us, because of our pride, we make ourselves unteachable. We go back to our verses here. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, you got these verses here helping us understand, and once again, it goes back to our previous lessons about what's on our mind. If we truly want to live a Christian life that is victorious, we're going to have to learn how to control our mind. We're going to have to learn how to bring things into captivity. We're going to have to learn to cast down the imaginations. We're going to have to learn how to cast down those things that anything exalts itself up against the knowledge of God. I know we have a few people that were in the other Sunday school classes here this morning with us. What we're doing is we're going through a series. While you've been out, we've gone through a series about what's on our mind and how to victory in our minds. And now we're at this point of pulling down a stronghold. You look here, what is the definition of a stronghold? A stronghold is something that is in your mind that you believe and you act upon. Now, a stronghold can be good or a stronghold can be bad. And what we've learned about is that it's not always something that is true. You know, I told you before that when I came to North Carolina, I thought every place in North Carolina had a ton of snows and a ton of mountains. And here at Elizabeth City, I guess I say that we don't have any snow, but I guess that wouldn't be true at least the last few weeks. But we definitely don't have any mountains. But based off of our assumptions, we make reactions based off what we believe. And what the idea of this series is to examine our lives completely and totally with the Holy Spirit's help and judge our strongholds according to the Word of God. See, we'll be amazed at how many strongholds the devil has placed in our mind if we will just examine it according to the Bible. And I know a number of you have talked to me about how much you have enjoyed these different lessons, and I pray that they've been a blessing to you. So when we talk now about these distinctions, what is some of the different things that cause the strongholds? I think one of the best ones to begin with is this idea of being unteachable. I've told you that every bad stronghold is based upon a pattern of wrong thinking or deception. Once again, these come from maybe previous knowledge. This comes from friends. This comes from wherever the devil can plant it. And I believe you can divide these areas of strongholds into five basic areas. As we go through these areas, what we're going to do is we're going to give you an explanation of what the stronghold is. We're going to show you what evidences that will show up in your life, so that way you will be able to tell them and identify the stronghold in your own life. Plus, you're going to have a biblical example, and this morning we're going to have two different biblical examples of someone that is unteachable. When I first started thinking about this and reading through this, one came to my mind just like that. And maybe there's somebody here that can think of something. Anybody think of a Bible character that was unteachable in a certain part of their life? You can raise your hand. Jesse? Saul. What was he unteachable about? That's right. What he was told to do. That's right. Anybody else got another idea? Jonah? Mr. Humbert? Samson? Anybody else? It's the idea there that, you know, there are certain people, no matter what was told to them, God came right to Jonah and told Jonah, I want you to do this. And Jonah said no. You have one, Mr. Rick? Adam, that's right. He didn't learn either. He wasn't taught about the sin, about that tree. So some of their Bible characters, the people who were unteachable, and we're going to illustrate those. And then at the end of each lesson, what we're going to do, you can notice on your outlines, there's a list of verses that help us and fighting this. You say, what are those verses for? Well, those verses are there because the sword of the Spirit is our weapon. And what you can do if you struggle with being unteachable, and I say, how do you know if you're unteachable or not? Well, we're going to learn about that this morning. And it deals a lot with pride when we're thinking that we know everything. And we're thinking that, hey, we got everything figured out and we don't really need to learn anything from anyone else or learn anything more from the Bible. That's what makes us unteachable. So when we look at these verses, how they directly deal with these areas, what you can do is you can write them out, put on the back of an index card or look at things, and that way you can look have them available for you when you struggle with. If we're all honest, we probably know what we struggle with. At least some of the stuff we know what we struggle with. Some of the things are additions to the fact that we have a root of pride or a root of bitterness or a root of this or a root of that, and they have complicated our lives so where we don't even know anymore. But if we will attack one of those areas, because remember what we looked about and what we learned about with these strongholds, that we have to learn how to attack these things. And so being unteachable is something that some people have struggles with. Now, I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of people, you know, at the age of 17, 18, 19, all the way to about, till I came here, I had the responsibility of being a manager in some different areas. So I worked with hundreds of people. At the Christian bookstore, we had a couple hundred people that worked with me in and out, and I never yelled at anybody. I wanted to yell at people before. I never hit anybody to try to get their attention. I've never really done something, but you know what? I was fair and honest with them, and there was a couple things that showed that they weren't employees that really wanted to have any type of work that could not work with me. Number one is when a person becomes to the point where I have to do their job or I have to get somebody else to do their job, then there's no need to have them anymore. I mean, if they're not going to do what they've been asked or do what they've been told, that's the type of person that I would say, okay, look, I just don't need you anymore. You say, Pastor Pease, you fired people before? I fired lots of people over the years. When they brought me from Elkton to Aberdeen, the guy gave me a list of names and says, these are all the people I want you to fire in the next 30 days. And they had people were stealing at the restaurant. People were doing all these things. And we didn't get rid of all of them because his list, because he didn't work with the people as well. He was basing off the other manager's experiences. But another person that you cannot work with is a person who is not willing to learn something. It's a person who's not willing to be teachable. A person who is not open to it. If you've ever had people that worked for you, one of the things you want them to do is, it's okay to have your own mind. It's okay to have your own opinion. But if I'm asking you to do something a certain way, I expect it to be done a certain way because you're getting paid to follow the instruction of the owner, and the owner's given me the privilege of working with you, and he gives me direction, and I give them direction. So it's a person that's unteachable. It's a person that really, if you can't teach somebody something, there isn't too much benefit to them helping there. Now, I agree that there are certain jobs and certain places that they already know what they're doing, and when someone new comes in, they struggle with the idea of change and things like that. But we must learn to always be teachable when it comes to things that are important. And people who simply won't listen are just people that many times you waste your breath on. I had a few people who worked for me over the years that no matter what you told them, they had their own ideas, they had their own answers, and they were going to do things their own way. You say, well, what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that if you're talking about your own home. There's nothing wrong with that if you're talking about your own way of wanting to do things. But when you're talking about work, there's a certain way it needs to be done. If you're getting paid to do a job, you need to do it the way that the person who's paying you expects you to do it. Now, how do we equivalent that with our Christian lives? Well, we're bought with a price. Our lives are not our own. And if we are truly going to be a servant of God, there are certain things that he must teach us and he must direct us and he must lead us. And many times a person that has a stronghold in their life is because of the fact they're unteachable. Here's the explanation of being unteachable. Some people are unteachable because of their pride. Paul warns Timothy here, and when he's talking about selecting leadership of the church, he says, not a novice, talking about somebody who's new, somebody who does not know, someone who's not been trained or understands it. Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. A person who is proud thinks he has already arrived. A person who is proud thinks that there is nothing that you can teach me new about the Bible or nothing can teach me about the Word of God. Then why do you come to church? I mean, why do you read your Bible? And there are people who stop reading their Bible, and there are people who stop listening to the preaching of the Word of God, yeah, because those are avenues that God uses to teach us. I've been saved for a lot of years, and I've studied the Bible a lot, but, you know, I get to hear preaching. I mean, the last week when we heard preaching and teaching, I learned things, and there are things that encouraged me, and there's things that reminded me, and the Lord opened my mind and my eyes up to certain things. We must always be a teachable person. It's very dangerous to think that you have arrived, Because once you have arrived, by definition, guess what? You're not going anyplace else. If you think that you've reached the spot where you know everything when it comes to the Bible and the Word of God, you will never try to grow as a Christian. And none of us have apprehended, as the Apostle Paul says. None of us have gotten to the spot where we have become like Jesus Christ completely and totally. That won't happen until we become, till we get to heaven and we become like Him. And what we need to understand is that we need to be teachable so we can learn what Jesus Christ, learn how to become more like Him. You'll never grow anymore in your life if you think you've arrived. I had a young person that, I think I might have told a story before. I had a young person, my wife, when we first got here, my wife helped tutor a couple boys and that was going over at Victory. And the little boy was in seventh grade. He came to church one night and he didn't go to church very often. We tried to get him to come to church and I said, "Hey, so what you think?" He says, "Oh, I've heard that story so many times, I know it all already." And he didn't really have any interest in, you know, hearing the story, hear the Word of God. He says, "I've heard it before, I already knew what you were going to say." And, you know, he began to talk about, and as a 12-year-old, he had it all figured out already. I said, "Man, you must be smarter than me." He says, "Why?" He says, "Because I still love reading the Bible and learning. I still love the hearing, preaching, and learning. And it still amazes me when you hear the doctrines being taught and preached by people and how God works in their hearts and lives, how God can still speak to someone who's been going to church all their lives. If you have a willing and teachable spirit." I think if we all want to become like Jesus Christ, we will learn. Be teachable. You can start to think that preaching and Bible reading and memorizing scripture are for only other people. And I've been in church most of my life, but I still love learning new things. Another thing I've noticed, when a person becomes highly confident in their own opinions, nothing else really seems to matter to them. And don't get me wrong, if God's taught you something out of His Word, that's something you should believe and that's something you should hold to, unless someone shows you something different from God's Word and challenges you. But if you get to the mentality, "This is the way I think, it must be right, and it must be accurate. Just because I think that way, just based off of previous knowledge," then you're wrong. Then you might have a stronghold of being unteachable. The Bible says that high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to cast those down. And a smug smile, a condescending nod, many times this indicates the fact that, "Hey, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, but you're wrong. I know more than you do." It's an evidence of being unteachable. So that's the next thing, is evidence of being unteachable. You may have a stronghold with the root of being unteachable if you feel superiors to others. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you might not be more intelligent in a certain area than others, but we need to understand that we can always learn things, and it's amazing things that children teach me today. It's amazing some things that my son comes up to me and explains something a little differently. Yesterday we were setting up for the progressive dinner here at the church because my wife is sick. If you remember, you're praying for her. She wasn't able to have the kids over at our house, so we came up here. I was setting things up. And usually, if you've worked with my boys especially, I will give them a list of things and I will talk very quickly because I want things done. I want things done right because we were in a hurry. And my son said, "Well, Dad, could we try this?" And his way was better. And you know what? If I was unteachable, I would just say, "Hey, just be quiet and do what you're told." But if you learn to listen, it's amazing where you can learn certain things from. And God uses sometimes children. God uses sometimes older people. God uses sometimes even our mates to help us teach certain things to others. Some people think that everyone else is dumb and they are smart. They feel like their intellect and ideas set them apart from everyone else. Their two favorite words when they begin the sentence is, "You should." You say, "What do you mean? Have you ever met anybody that seems like they got the answer for everything?" I mean, there is true that person says, "Well, if you could have done it this way, you should have done it this way. You should have done." I mean, they're telling Leslie how he should do something and Mr. Cartwright how to do something and they're telling Mr. Jim how to do something. And then they're going in and telling all the ladies how they should be doing their things, is because they think they got it all under control. That's a very prideful person. I'm not saying it's a person that cannot be helped, but there is an idea of trying to be an encouragement to people. But then there's an idea of being a know-it-all. They know what everyone else should do and how everything else should be run. They know how their spouse should behave and how their neighbors could improve their landscaping. They never listen to anyone else's ideas. This is an evidence that a person is unteachable. If your response to instruction or correction is usually argumentative rather than acceptive, you probably have a stronghold of being unteachable. And now, don't get me wrong. And one of the Bible examples we're going to look at is David. David learned how to take good advice and learned how to take bad advice. There was a time when he did not take the good advice he should have. And there was times when he listened to bad advice and says, I'm not going to listen to that. So there is a needing of the Holy Spirit to help teach us and guide us. You say, well, what about the Bereans? Well, the Bereans here, what did they do? The Bible says that these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And we talked about the Bereans before. Being unteachable does not mean, hey, you listen to the preacher preach, and just because you do not like the preacher, or because you do not like the Sunday school teacher, or because you don't, you know, you go and you hear what they say, and you try to find something wrong with it, and you try to prove it with the word of God that it's wrong. Now here, the Bereans, what did they do? It says, first of all, they began with what? They received the word with all readiness of mind. They listened to the word of God. They heard what the word of God had to say, and then they searched the scriptures daily. I'm trying to tell you that as a Christian, I believe that we should learn the word of God. We should receive the word of God, not with a suspicion, not with criticism, not looking for flaws, but being open and receptive to the teaching of the Bible. And then when you hear something that's a little different than maybe you've ever learned, look it up in the word of God. I've always told you that. If I contradict the Bible, then I don't want you to listen to me. You take the word of God, you hear what's being said, you understand what's being said, even if it even challenges you according to what you maybe have not heard before in the past. When we learned about faith promise with Brother Snyder, I know that some of the times people have told him before about, hey, look, when a faith promise amount just comes to your mind, you just write it down. But he explained to us the different things according to the things that you have. And he explained to us that what real faith is believing in what God has had you written down and you to follow through about that. And it was good. And I know that Brother Halsey preached a set of messages similar to that to every about 4 or 5 years ago. And every four or five years, we're going to look at that and learn once again about what faith promise is, just to help us remind us what the nuts and bolts of it is. The Bereans, what was the encouragement here was they were not looking to try to prove a preacher wrong. They were not looking to try to be hurtful. What did they do? They received the word of God daily, and then they searched the scriptures daily and helping them understand. Winston Churchill once said, some men change their principles because of their political affiliation. Others change their political affiliation because of their principles. And it is amazing today that there are people today that are willing to change their principles just to be part of a political affiliation. But the truth of it is that we should take our principles that are found in the Word of God, and that should be the standard by which we measure all truth, the standard of the infallible Word of God. The facts of the Scripture should always make us reconsider our positions. And as we challenge ourselves, and as that's what the idea of having a proper vision of things, as we challenge ourselves, we need to look in the Word of God. It's not based off of just things that we've learned over in the past and heard other people say. It's based off what the Bible says and the Word of God. Let's go ahead, and this is what we're going to look at in First Chronicles chapter 21. This is where the example of being unteachable, and it talks about David here being unteachable. Now remember, David is a man after God's own heart. David was the man who faced Goliath. He trusted God when no one else was willing to. He was the greatest of all the Israel kings except for the coming king in Jesus Christ. He wrote many of the Psalms and was in large part a very godly man. He also was a man that had some flaws. And I know the first thing that comes to our mind when we think of David's flaws was the sin with Bathsheba and the killing of Uriah. But that was not the only other one. David at other times, in his life, he was unteachable. And if you think about it, as we tell this story, 70,000 people lose their lives. 70,000. Now, how many lost their lives when it came to immorality of David? Well, we know that Uriah lost his life. We know that the baby lost his life. And I think it trickled down to some of the other repercussions in his life. But more people lost their lives because David was unteachable than the immorality. You're saying that being unteachable is worse than immorality? What I'm telling you is that if you get to a spot in your life that you become unteachable about something, then everything else is opened up and you're allowing the devil to have a stronghold in your life. As you let the devil have a stronghold in your life, you will not be willing to listen to any type of godly correction and that instruction that will try to help bring you back to where you need to be. You open yourselves up to many other areas of being attacked by the devil. Look what it says in 1 Chronicles chapter number 21, verses 1 through 4. It says, and Satan, now notice where it all starts with, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me, that I may know it. And Joab answered the Lord, and Joab, once again, he hears this. He knows that it's done because of David's pride. And Joab kind of helps him, tries to say, look, don't do this. And Joab answered, the Lord make his people 100 times, so many more as they be, but my Lord, the king, are they not all my Lord's servants? Why then doth my Lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel? Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Wherefore, Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. Now, the problem with numbering the people was the motive behind it. This was not like the census that was commanded in Exodus chapter number 30. It is not always wrong to count, but it is always wrong to be motivated with pride and think that the scope of our influence is a measure of our standing with God. Now, Joab was not a perfect man. Joab was a man who had flaws and failings, but he did recognize that the numbering of the people was a bad idea and warned David against it. This is an important lesson. You ever looked at somebody because of something they did in the past and think you can never learn from that person ever again? See, David might have looked at Joab like that and says, oh, I know you. I can't listen to you. You're not a spiritual person. Now, I think it's true that God can use people who had messed up in the past to be able to teach us things today. You think about the Apostle Paul. He says he is the chief of sinners. He had killed Christians before. And at the beginning of his ministry, people did not want to hear what he had to say because of the things he had done before. But how much will we not know if we did not listen to the Apostle Paul's and his teaching? Dr. Bob Jones Sr. put it this way, God can hit many straight licks with a crooked stick. In truth, God has only imperfect people to use. We are all imperfect in some way, form, or another. And the fact that a person attempting to teach us is flawed does not mean that their advice is wrong. Also, David and Joab in the story here, Joab was the leader of David's army. It's not already that time, is it? Wow. We're not even close to being done. So, well, we'll finish up this at least David here, and then we'll look at a couple other things. Joab was David's nephew. You ever try taking advice from a family member? Most time we don't like to hear it. But we can learn from other people. I'm not talking about you going and listening to someone who's ungodly, someone who does not care about God. But Joab here has David's best interest at heart. David was being unteachable here, and he would not adhere to the good counsel from Joab. And God was displeased with this thing. It sees in verse number four, that David's word won out over Joab. And it will always, because God's not going to force himself on us. But we need to be careful. Another example of the unteachable person, this is the one I came to first, was Peter. Peter was told by Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 26 that all of them was going to be offended by him tonight. All ye shall be offended because of me this night. Peter thinks that he's some super Christian, better than everyone else, and he says to Jesus that he tells Jesus he's wrong. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. You know, what was the problem with Peter? He should have fell on his knees and said, I'm sorry, Lord. I don't ever want to offend you. I don't ever want to deny you. Teach me how to be faithful. Teach me how to do these things right. But no, Peter had in his mind that he could not and would never do that. And I think we all know how that ended up, was the fact that he, in the end, never learned what he needed to. Jesus warned Peter about that Satan was out to get him, but Peter did not have any interest in learning from Jesus Christ himself. So I just want to help you encourage you to take some of these things and learn. You think about the exercise here. There's a bunch of verses here. Psalms 10:4, the wicked through his pride, through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. And if you're a prideful person or unteachable person, you know what the Bible's saying? Look, God is not in your thoughts. We need to make sure we're not thinking highly of ourselves, but instead thinking highly of God. There's a couple other ones here I want to show you here. Think about the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. When we think about the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, we would say the homosexuality thing, which is a huge sin. But look what it says here. Behold, this iniquity was of thy sister Sodom. doesn't say homosexuality first. What does it say? It says pride. And because of the fact they were prideful, because of the fact they were unteachable, these other things happened. Fullness of bread, abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the land of the poor and the needy. And they were haughty. So you have two things there about being haughty and prideful before you ever get to the abomination before them. Say, Pastor, what are you trying to get at? We need to be people that are teachable. One of the strongholds, and the reason why we have strongholds in our life, because there are certain things in our life that we say are off guard, and we will never allow someone to try to teach us anything different about those particular subjects. Now, don't get me wrong. If you have a stronghold that is a good stronghold, which we talked about before, there's a prison stronghold, and then we talked about the productive type strongholds. I forget which P we used. But it's the idea there that if you learn something in the Bible and the Word of God, don't be challenging that. But what we need to challenge is the things or the lies that we have listened to or the things we let the devil cause us to believe and those things that we have let become strongholds. And we have thought these things for years upon years and think that there is no way I can learn anything from anything else or anyone else. Now, Bible says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Now, we learned a little bit about this before, about being submissive. And submission is, or true humility is submission and service. We've talked about it before, how a humble person is willing to give in what he wants or wishes for others. He will perform even menial, lowly tasks to help them. You think about Jesus. When he washed the disciples' feet that night, he was trying to teach them something. Now, that's a pretty disgusting job that Jesus was willing to do. Did you know in Jewish traditions and custom that a owner of a Hebrew slave or a Jewish slave could not command someone to wash their feet? He could command someone that was a Gentile to wash their feet, but he could not command to watch a Jewish slave to wash his feet because it was such a disgusting job. And you see Jesus, the Son of God, taking off, you know, his robe and girding up with a towel and wiping down their feet. What is he doing there? He's teaching them humility. He's teaching them service. He's teaching them to work. He's trying to teach them something. And that's what I think we need to learn too, is that we need to be willing to be teachable. If we have strongholds in our life, one of the things we need to be willing to do is open up our hearts and minds to what the Word of God has to say. Next week, we're going to look at the next distinction when it comes to strongholds. And I think it's being unforgiving. If we're unforgiving, that will cause us many times to hold on to the hurts of our lives. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer.